We're going to take some more look at this mind of Christ and see if we can come up with anyway, let's look at Matthew 6. It's going to be about thought. Matthew 6, starting, and we're going to look at several verses in Matthew 6, starting in verse 25. We'll just read down from 25 to 34. And the first, well, we have to go up earlier. Start in 22. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? Now that's for those that think they understand and don't. And it's legion in our generation. The idea, remember, the idea of evil here is porneo, and it means it's to toil. So the whole idea of, it's the opposite of having entered into the rest. And this is why we have to look at this, the fullness of the picture, to understand any of it. We have, we are to enter the rest. It says, there remaineth therefore a rest for the people of God. Today, if you'll harden not your hearts, enter into that rest. And it goes on and on in Hebrews 3. And the rest, This evil, I evil, is the opposite of that rest, is opposite of the seven. And so the whole mystery of God is dependent on the finished work of Christ. There is no more toil. Now, and everything has as its predicate self-interest. That's what Christ defeated, because the fall created the awareness of self, which then produced the need for self-realization. And so that everything that Jesus said is to combat that idea of self-realization. You understand? And this, it's combat just about everything and every aspect of human nature. Now, you've heard 1,000 times, or I have, because whenever I talk about this, somebody says, well, God gave me a mind, or God gave us a mind to use. Well, they forgot the fall. They forgot that Adam and Eve ate of that tree that knows good and evil to be like gods themselves. So the fall is the most ignored aspect of our lives. You can do nothing by your default position except the will of Satan, is what Jesus said. You understand that? Your default, the human race's default position is self-realization. And it is the dominant issue. Now, the believer's issue is no longer self-realization. I am fulfilled as I fulfill others. What happens to me is unimportant, as long as I meet your need. That is the mindset of a true believer. There's no more need for self-realization or self-advancement. For you are yours. Because now your life is by faith. So, the light of the body is the eye. If thine eye be single, the whole body is full of light. But if your eye is evil or sees toil, then even the light that is in you is darkness. And how great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Mammon is a Chaldean word that was taken into the Greek and Hebrew language. And mammon means anything that you have confidence in. That's the meaning of the word. The general idea, the thing that most people have confidence in, is they feel fulfilled when they have enough money. And that's how money became mammon. Everybody understand that? So somehow this mystery of God has to do with you first have to have come to a place where what you are doing and how you are living no longer satisfies you, it's no more your sustenance. It gives you identity, and it's become nothing. That's the word for poverty. Paktos. You have to become poor to even hear the true gospel. If I'm going to go preaching that God wants you to be even more super successful, then I'm what am I doing? I'm using the name of God to promote the fall. There can't be a greater sin. So are you saying there's a constant here? The constant is that self-seeking under any guise is gone.
I never heard that self-realization is really perpetuating the fall.
Yeah, and if you teach it in the name of God, which it seems like all the ones we investigate do, then you're using God or the Holy Spirit or Jesus to try to make the fall more efficacy or have more efficacy, which is just ridiculous. So do you understand? Your whole life has been spent in self-realization. You reached a point where what was sustaining you and giving you sustenance and satisfaction no longer worked. That's the only time you have ears to hear. That's when your ear is circumcised. Now what happens? It seems like to me, if I read the scriptures correctly, your ear is circumcised, but then you build again the things that you destroyed by seeing the futility of it. And now again, now the place where it was partially circumcised is grown back. So you're still, now you're just hearing them with the mind of a Gentile. Amen? Is there any of this anybody wants to expand on? Again, this isn't a monologue. It's supposed to be a dialogue. Now, the problem is that the dialogue this morning is ones that normally dialogue are too busy eating. Everybody agree with everything that's been said so far and understand it?
I had to teach Maslow's hierarchy of needs when I was teaching a primary leadership development course in the Army. And like most things, it starts out okay. You sure need air and water and food and shelter, but then it goes off into self-realization and self-actualization. I always had a problem when I was teaching that, and now I know why. But I see, I can see that he brings something to light. There were five levels in Maslow's hierarchy.
I understand.
The first three aren't really that bad, but it's like it takes a U-turn and it goes right back into self-seeking.
Yeah, but those are destroyed in what we're about to read.
Yeah.
No, I'm very familiar with that. All right. Therefore, because of everything he's just said, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body what you shall put on. Now, what is all that about? What you shall eat, what you shall drink, what you shall put on. Those are the basic issues of your life. Those are essentially the first three of this. I forgot the name already. That I
Maslow's hierarchy of needs.
No.
Maslow's hierarchy of needs.
You can't talk with all that opening in your mouth comes out.
Maslow.
I know Maslow.
Okay, good.
Hierarchy of needs. So this just destroyed three of them.
Yeah.
Now, has it destroyed it in you?
Working on it.
I'm not familiar with Maslow.
Well, forget Maslow. Just this. Take no thought for what you will, for your life, one number one. And then it goes, what you shall eat, what you shall drink, or what you shall put on. What's your clothes? Clothing, shelter, food.
I always have a slight problem with the definition of thought, so it seems to be.
Well, that's why we're expanding it here. Take no thought for those things.
Because, I mean, thought, you know, am I self-actualizing? I'm just saying, hey, I'm probably not going to have a sandwich for lunch. If I become obsessed and consumed, just thought, worry, preoccupation.
Well, what other, I mean, you don't have to worry about it, what the scripture says. Whatever is in front of you, eat. Whatever is served, eat. Doesn't matter what it is. Your sustenance doesn't come from what you're eating anyway.
There's always a desire to make it something that I can do. And that's why I recently talked about impossible things. And I think it does us good for them to be impossible, because if they're impossible, then I don't have to worry about whether I can do it or not.
No.
I can give it to God.
Yeah, you can repent.
Yeah.
That's the whole, when you see the meaning and don't just slough them off and ignore them, then what this produces is a continual, constant bringing forth fruit suitable for repentance. So you live in that state of repentance. You don't ever, ever leave it.
You don't have to spend any time worrying about what it means to take no thought. You just have to understand, you know, when you're doing it, repent of it.
Yeah, but it's that's the whole purpose. Remember the word statute? Remember we had ordinances,
just,
law?
Just destroyed your whole Bible study.
That was the point of it. That was what I was trying to say.
You were just, okay, you kept asking what does it mean to think?
Well, I was hoping somebody else would see the same thing I was seeing.
All right. And it goes on. Therefore I say, verse 26, behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they? So again, that's why we behold nature. That's why we see him in nature everywhere. We are the only animal that has, there's some animals, I suppose, if they've been around humans long enough, that seem to have an awareness of themselves. But primarily, they don't think about themselves. Their self isn't in the picture. There may be a few exceptions. If they've hung around humans too long, then they get jealous of, all those things. But that fundamentally, in the wild, they don't take thought for themselves. They be instead of trying to be. They just be. Anybody agree with that?
I guess for even the best domesticated ones, we tend to anthropomorphize, put human traits on animals that they don't have.
Well, there's been a lot of studies recently about that. But
your pets, one of the things I've learned over the years, my pets, is that they just be. They're here. They're in the now. There is no past, no future. And what has always brought that into sharp focus for me is a death for them. They don't fear it. They're aware of it when the time comes, but they don't fear it.
Right.
So, and this is true even of the wild things.
Especially of the wild things. All right, let's walk. Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit to his stature? And why take you thought for clothing or raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, so if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. But seek ye first, except first isn't in there, seek ye the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Therefore, take no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Now, this whole thing is explained in me from the major takeaway from my conversion experience, that I could never again do anything to help myself. Now, that's radical, and it made me crazy at first. Because everything about, that's one of the reasons I studied so much. Can't do anything to help myself. Now, that was the mantra, if you will, of the first century church. They considered the needs of the other person more important than their own needs. And that never stopped. That never stopped. And my whole life as a believer has been God's faithfulness in me taking thought, no thought for what I was going to wear or what I was going to eat or whatever. But somehow it was manifested. I didn't have any clothes that fit me after I lost all this weight. And so, especially anything that where I have to be on camera. And so I'm in California. I have to come back here because I'm going to get deposed by TBN's gaggle of attorneys. And it seemed to me that I shouldn't look like a bum, which I normally look like a bum. What are you laughing at, Tom?
Hey, you're no longer wearing socks with your sandals. I'd say you're...
I've never worn socks with my sandals. That's a thing that only a fashion idiot like you could ever do. You remember, Tom's? We're in the middle of this incredible concept, and here we go, socks in your sandals. Anyway, I asked Vanessa when I was in California if Glenn had an old or an earlier sport coat that might fit me when he was a lot thinner. And she just said, I'll check, and that's the last I heard. the next thing I knew, they had bought me a $900 suit. Now, so I looked like I was a player in that deposition. But anyway, that's just a minuscule. But I, you know, it's just, there's 10,000 examples of his faithfulness. And I know there is with you too. You know, Pete just got a new car. He never asked for it. Didn't even necessarily want it. Why?
And his parking has improved dramatically.
I've got a vacation. He's actually trying to enjoy it. He didn't ask for it.
My point is, just consider his faithfulness the next time you're concerned about your own self-realization, self-actualization, anything about you. Now, let's just start with there as take no thought, okay?
I would like to make a comment here. The take is a key word here. Take no thought. Implying that.
Well, it just means have no thought. It doesn't mean like grab. That's an English word. Don't pay attention to the word take. It just means
give
as
me
a being.
Word. Give me another word.
Well, have no thought. Have no thought.
That's the way it works.
Have no thought about what you're going to eat.
It doesn't say that. It says take.
Take isn't. Doesn't say it. Take is an English translation. It just means to have no thought.
Well, maybe we should research it.
Probably should, but take it for what it says. I mean, you can twist the word and then.
No, I'm not twisting the word. I'm saying what it is in Greek. That's all we can do. This is an English translation, and it's not always as. King James.
Well, if it were take, in the implication of take, means you exercise yourself in thoughts string through your head. And you can maybe say they don't string through your head, but I believe they string through people's heads. And the point I'm making is that you grab one where you don't have confidence in God for whatever reason, and you take that and you work it. You say, I've got to do something with this. I've got to go work harder. I've got to do this. I've got to something. Rather than the underlying meaning, I believe, is have faith or let faith be the operating
position. Well, but there can be no faith without repentance. So the repentance always has to be the first act. Because if I just, that's laissez-faire Christianity. That means I can, everything, one of these things can run through my head and I can be, but no, it says, you take action, you repent. And that's, repenting has to be the constant. Bring forth fruit necessary or suitable for repentance. It can never leave you. You can't just going to let your mind go on. It has to be repentance.
Well, the point is you pay no attention.
Well, if it's there, you repent.
Do you shut off your mind? Is that Christianity?
What I do is talk in tongues most of the time in my mind. So again, my mind is inoperative. Either that, I breathe in or breathe out. I see I'm breathing out, me breathing in the Holy Spirit. I don't sit around and think about what I'm going to do. I do crosswords because it's relaxing to me. But I'm not spending any time thinking about it. The point is, I want you to hear this. I'm not worried about it. Let's just for this discussion and for the next maybe day or two, suspend the taking no thought. Let's just see if we can understand it only from the standpoint of taking no thought which would benefit you in any way. Can we agree with that? Now that's at least a starting point on this.
At least,
because it does start.
But if you do,
your life.
Yeah, any part of your life, if you think of something about you, benefiting you, then I'm asking you to repent. That's all I'm asking. and we'll see if we can make this happen at a level that can be comprehended and be apprehended by it.
And possibly, as Tom said, not one of those absolutely impossible things. I mean,
well, no, even this, what I've just said today, is impossible. But I'm asking you, when it happens, instead of just say, Father, forgive me.
Right. Well, it's a little more.
When what happens?
What?
When what happens?
When you are taking a thought about something that would put you in a better position.
Right. Which in effect is no faith position.
Which is the no faith.
Faith and are taking thought.
They're mutually exclusive. Amen? So just now, anytime there's a thought about benefiting you in any way, it's repentance. You are not your own. You've been bought with a price. You are a bond slave of God. Somebody else's fulfillment is more important than your own. Amen?
Amen.
All right. Take me, guy. I've got